Today we celebrate a most wonderful and glorious day. First of all, of course, it is the first Saturday of the month, which for us who are here and who venerate Our Lady in this miraculous statue of Our Lady of Fatima in our sanctuary, is a day of plenary indulgence under the usual conditions. In addition, of course, it is the very special day that Our Lady commended unto the children at Fatima, that on the first Saturday of every month, Catholics should seek to go to Mass and Communion, if possible to confession, which can be done several days before, several days after, if not possible on the very same day, and to have prayers for the Supreme Pontificate of the Holy Catholic Church. And of course, all these things are most necessary for each and every one of us individually, for who cannot do with more indulgences and blessings and prayers? Who is beyond and above that? No one, especially no one that it will be part of the inheritance of the eternal kingdom of God in heaven. And then, of course, it is also a very wonderful feast today, a feast which shows us the fact that miracles do happen and can happen and will happen with faith and with the gift of God that very often, if not always, comes through His most holy Mother Mary, the mediatrix of all graces. On this day, way back in antiquity, in the middle of the 4th century, under the reign of Pope Liberius I, there was an old couple in Rome, and already by that time those things had been established, tithing and giving donations to the church and doing good through the church and through the church to the poor and so forth, which brought in themselves indulgences and many blessings in this life and the next. And so this old couple, the patrician John and his wife, had no children, and they had a very sizable estate. And so they prayed to the Blessed Mother and asked her to let them know how she would want them to use this benefit that they were leaving to the church after their death, in which way, in which direction. Because there are always many needs, so there are many directions that it could have been possible. And of course, in this day and age, in the last 60 years, everything is about social work and social service. So a lot of people today, and perhaps even in Lisbon this week, where many sacrileges have been preferred upon God and the altar and the Most Holy Sacrament, many people would have said, give it to the poor. Of course, you have to figure out who exactly is the poor. There are many people in the history of the church who have been falsely the poor. So who is the poor? But that isn't the number one concern, because our bodies are going to die no matter what. But our souls are not. And when we speak about the poor in the spiritual life, it is mainly the poor in spirit, those who are of their own choice deprived of the graces of God, perhaps even totally in mortal sin, in evil lives, and then those who do less and less because they don't think that it's necessary. So those are definitely the poor also. But the church has many needs, and so the Blessed Mother teaches us a lesson there too. And she said to John and his wife, I want you to leave your inheritance to the church for the purpose of building a temple in my honor in here, the city of Rome, the holy city of Rome. And yes, there were many chapels and many devotions even then, but there was not one particular grandiose basilica in honor of Our Lady. And then she said, on the spot tonight that I will make it snow. Now, if you think it's hot now, you don't know what it was like in the year 350, 353 in Rome that year. Very, very hot. And of course, if it snowed right now outside, other than being a miraculous snow, it would not stay, not for a minute, if it could snow. And so she said, on the place where I shall make it snow, and the snow, of course, would stay, there I want you to build a church in my honor. That will be the principal church of mine in the city and in the world. At the same time, that night, Pope Liberius experienced the same dream, more or less, except for the inheritance, which was not his to give. It was his to receive in the name of Our Lady. And so he dreamt also, and that there would be a place that morning when they woke up that it would have snowed during the night. Of course, the church, the dedication of this feast is Santa Maria ad Nives, Holy Mary at the snows. It is Our Lady of the snows. So, and they all woke up the next morning on August the 5th. The servants came running in to the Pope, and they came out running in to John and his wife, and everyone hurried to the exact spot on the Esquiline Hill where it had snowed. And there is a beautiful bas-relief in the Chapel of Our Lady, Health of the Roman People, in the Basilica, where also the Blessed Sacrament is kept and daily Mass is offered, that shows Pope Liberius sketching the outlines of the Basilica with a shovel on the snow on August the 5th. Needless to say, a church, a magnificent church, was built there, which is still there to this day, one of the most beautiful of the basilicas, not changed very much in time. And there was and is where Our Lady showed her favor to the church and to the holy people of God. So since that time, the Feast of Our Lady of the Snows has been celebrated. In the 5th century, in the year 430, in the Council of Chalcedon, that was also invoked to safeguard the teaching of the Church about the Holy Mother, that Mary was indeed the Mother of God, not just the mother of a human body that was later on possessed by God. No, it was the Son of God that was made incarnate in her womb when she said, "Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum." Not just a spirit in a body, but it was the real Son of God who became the Son of Man in the womb of Mary, true God and true man. And the heretics were trying to tell everyone that no, they only believe that Mary was the mother of the human body, but not of God, as if you could separate a soul from its body. And so the council condemned him, Nestorius, of course, patriarch of Constantinople, and proclaimed the dogma of the divine maternity, Maria Mater Dei, Dei Pueri Dei Mater. And of course, since then, the church has always held, and even before that, but then it was made prescribed in a dogma of the church that the Son of God became the Son of Mary, not just his body, but him, totally him. And so today we honor Mary, the Mother of God, who has made it snow in the harshest night of the year, in the hot, hot summer of Rome, which is beyond all telling. And there the snows stayed. And to this day, the wonderful Basilica of St. Mary Major, the major church of Mary in Rome and in the world, is honored and blessed. And of course, the fathers of the Council of Chalcedon ordered that a bigger, more grandiose church be built around what was already there. And that is the Basilica, which is there today. So today, we commend ourselves. We are in this day and age in the church universal, in the church, in this shrine and parish and all over, in need of many miracles. The devil and his minions attacking us always. And so therefore we pray that the miracles of Our Lady of the Snows may be granted to us once again. And we pray that the sacrileges and evils that are taking place in the church, with the blessing of those who are established by God to deliver the faith that was handed to them, not to create a new Protestant heretical faith, that they may finally listen and give heed to the Blessed Mother. And so today we honor Our Lady of the Snows, the same Mother that we know as Our Lady of Fatima, the Immaculate Heart, to whom this month of August is dedicated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.